if children are old enough to love. They're old enough to grieve. This is episode 1 in a series of podcasts on children and young people's grief, produced by Victoria Hospice. Thank you to our generous donors who have made this series possible. These episodes are meant to be tools and resources for parents and professionals who work with children and who may be seeking guidance when it comes to dealing with grief.
I've been with Victoria Hospice for a long time, working with both adults and children.
That's Allison Whiteman, child and youth counselor at Victoria Hospice.
The children piece is my passion. When I was doing my master's degree, my research was around bereaved children, which I found really interesting, and found myself really wanting to advocate for bereaved children because there was a real lack of research around that topic at the time. So I'm really excited to be sharing this information with all of you today.
In this episode, Allison speaks about different age groups and how they grieve. She'll break down the developmental stages and provide some suggested ways to support each age group. First, there are 3 general themes to remember for all ages.
No matter what the age the child is, it fits in. So first of all, it's an important point for parents to know that children re-grieve at each developmental stage. So if they experience a death at the age of 5, when they hit the age of 9, they're going to look at it again. And when they hit the age of 13, they're going to look at it again. And this is normal and healthy. There isn't anything wrong that's happening. The second point is that children's grief is sporadic, so it's different from adult grief. Their attention span can last only so long on anything, and it's true for their grief as well. So it will come and go, and that's perfectly normal and natural and healthy as well. And my last point is, one of the purposes of our grief is to help us to develop a relationship, change the relationship with the person who has died. So when they die, our grief doesn't mean that the relationship stops. It means that it has to change because the person isn't physically here to maintain it anymore. And so our grief helps us in the shifting and changing and adapting. And I'll talk more about what that looks like with each specific age group.
The next age group, 13 to 15.
So the next age group gets into the official teenagers, so from 13 to 15. And what happens with this age group, one of the big things is now they have made a shift to abstract thinking. So their thinking is a lot more adult-like in terms of their understanding of the concept of death. Doesn't mean that the emotional expression is adult-like, but in terms of understanding the concept of death, it's very adult-like. And they can ask a lot of kind of big questions, which adults are asking themselves. So, for example, why do people have to die? Well, none of us has an answer to that, but we all ask that question when we experience someone that we love who's died. So it's same for this age group as well. They're at that level now. They are also in this delicate balancing act of, for their normal, natural development, they're pulling away from their family, they're pulling away from their parents, and they're looking to their peers. But one of the things that happens when we're grieving, no matter what our age, is we regress in our behavior. So at the same time, there's this natural inclination to pull away. They're also wanting to be closer because they need to have that sense of safety and security. And so that's a really delicate balance for them, and I find that that's a struggle for them. There's a lot of back and forth, which can be very confusing for parents then, because it's like, well, yesterday you wanted to be with me and today you don't, so what's going on? And it's not personal. So that's a particular point about that age group. They're also very private with their feelings. So this is the age group that will like to spend a lot of time alone in their room. If they're upset about something, they don't want other people to see it. And so for the parents then, they may be wondering what's going on for their child and quite concerned because, you know, they keep being off by themselves, but they don't want anybody in there with them. And so it's, again, it's that balance of checking in to see if they're how they are, but also giving them the space that they're wanting and needing. It's a time where communication and space both play really important roles. So how do you support them? Well, one of the big ways is by giving them space and asking, you know, asking them if they're wanting it, and if they request it, then to give them that time alone. Interfering with that isn't helpful. They also like to participate in the different activities, so funeral, memorial services, or holiday traditions, helping to plan with those. They have a lot of their own ideas that they like to contribute. And they also really benefit, just like the other age groups, with fostering connections with the person who has died. And that can look in many ways, like we've already discussed, with the special places and the possessions and the memories. All of those things are really important. And being able to share them with each other and talk openly about the person who has died makes a big difference as well.
This is one of six sections of this episode covering developmental stages in grief. Future episodes will look at resiliency, bereaved children's needs, and supports. Thank you to our generous donors for making this podcast possible. For more details on Victoria Hospice's bereavement services, visit our website, victoriahospice.org.